everybody. Welcome back to the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast. I'm Devin Davidson, your host. With me, as always, Bruce Gunther and John Enns, my co-hosts. Boys, how you doing?
Good.
Joining us tonight is our special guest, Ian Gooding. Ian, welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks
really
for having
appreciate
me.
You, yeah, absolutely. We appreciate you jumping on and talking shop with us. Ian is the managing editor at Dauber Hockey. He covers the Ramblings on weekends, and as needed, he handles the top 100 Roto rankings each month. Ian, you like scotch and bike riding. Is that true?
That's right. Yeah. Well, I haven't had much scotch. It's been more beer this summer, but I might be getting into that. And the bike has a flat tire right now, so
Shoot! But there you go.
I get that tire fixed. I'm back on there.
Good stuff. Do I understand that you live in BC? Is that correct?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay. How has things been out there this summer with the forest fires and everything that's going on out that way?
Not great. I mean, it's been more, I live in Surrey, so we're not as affected here. The skies have been mostly pretty good there, but up where my parents live in the interior, it's hasn't been good. We've kind of canceled our trip up there because of the air quality and roads and other things there. So, hoping that next summer is a little bit better, unfortunately. But, there's been some, people that have lost their homes up there, which is really unfortunate. My parents have been okay. They had to evacuate a few years ago. Fortunately, their homes were spared. So, I think things are starting to look up there, though.
Good. That's good to hear. I know even out here in Saskatchewan, we've seen the smoke. We're fortunate we're far removed from it, but definitely we can understand what it's like out there a little bit. So, hopefully everybody's okay and moving on. So, I just got to say for myself personally, I'm really excited to have you on. I've been a fan of Dauber Hockey for a long time. Whether it's the 21 Fantasy Hockey Thoughts or the Ramblings, Frozen Tools. I mean, I use a lot of those things myself personally, and so it's great to have you on and kind of hear more about Dauber Hockey and what you guys do there. I guess, is there anything else you want to tell the listeners about yourself? Like, where are you from, education, hobbies outside of hockey?
Sure. Yeah. Just maybe a little bit. I guess the most relevant is how long have I been a fantasy hockey writer? I mean, it's not my day job. I do have a day job. So, so this is sort of an evenings and weekends thing for me. But I've been a fantasy hockey writer for over a decade. I actually started it's hard to believe it was like 15 years ago when I started out. It was for a site called fantasyhockey.com, which no longer exists. I made my way up to managing editor there, which I now am with Dauber Hockey. So, worked there. The site shut down about, I'll say, 8 or 9 years ago. After that, I kind of freelanced for a few sites, and Dauber brought me on in about 2015, first as an associate editor to cover the Sunday Ramblings, and then sort of my role expanded, eventually became the managing editor there, where not only write the Ramblings, but I'm also the guy who brings on new writers, does some editing. There's a whole host of other things that I take on there. The top 100 Roto rankings is something I decided to do as well. It's going to kind of get me really, really get my hands dirty, especially in the off season where it's hard to write things. In the Ramblings, it's a 365 days a year of Ramblings. Dauber never misses them. So, being trusted with that, I want to make sure that I, put out something that's, interesting for people to read, to fantasy hockey diehards that will go there every day.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I guess speaking of that, how did you get into fantasy hockey writing? Like, is your formal education in writing or in journalism or anything like that? Or how did that start?
No, the way I got into it, my education's a little bit, taken a bit of a journey here. My degree is in business administration, but I eventually went into teaching adults at a career college. my work was kind of, one time there was a bit sort of part time. So I, you know, kind of ventured, you know, from playing in fantasy hockey leagues. I kind of got inspired from reading, you know, some different sites out there. I thought maybe I'll give this a try. One of the courses I taught was a communications course. So I, you know, teach people how to write. So that was, I thought, between that and fantasy hockey, maybe that's something I, you know, might try. So, I emailed the managing editor at the time at fantasyhockey.com and said, you know, it's something I'd be interested in. So I wrote there for just as a writer there for, I think, about a year and a half, 2 years. And he eventually moved on to something else. And the president decided to promote me to the position. So it was, I mean, I think it's something that a lot of people, if they want to get into it, is really, you know, you don't necessarily have to have that journalism background. Obviously, you want to play fantasy hockey. But I think the big thing is if you want to get really want to get into it, whether it's a podcast or whether you're writing or any of that, even if it's just posting things on Twitter, you know, to get those followers, to get really noticed, I think you've got to really, first thing you got to do is really just, you know, contribute regular content, like, so that people know when when and where your podcast or where your article is, and, you know, so they'll keep coming back.
Yeah, definitely. We've noticed that ourselves, just in terms of our podcast posting regularly every week. We've been doing it now since April, and the numbers are starting to reflect that. So we've had a lot of fun, I think, Bruce, John. It's been good. It's a learning curve, but we're enjoying it. So yeah, that's all sound advice for sure. I guess for anyone not familiar with Dobber Hockey, could you provide a brief overview of the company? Like, why would listeners visit the website or follow you guys on social media? What kind of stuff can they expect to see?
I mean, there's a lot there. There's the fantasy guide, which has, you know, everything you need to know about the, you know, preparing for your draft, for your season. There's other publications, of course, like there's the prospects guide. If you play in a keeper league and you're trying to track prospects, you have your, your mid-season guide, playoff draft list. You have, you know, Fantasy Hockey Geek is one that I highly recommend because it allows you to customize your league. You know, that's just the paid stuff. There's all the free stuff. You have the articles, including the ramblings. You have the frozen tools, which is a really a big draw over there, just because of the way that you can customize stats and download them. And, you know, if you're at a fantasy hockey site, sometimes you want to look up players and, you know, okay, well, let's get their stats. Let's do some number crunching there. So you can literally get lost there. There's the forum. If you have a question that you want to post to somebody, you know, people out there, a question about your team, you'll get a quick response there. I know Dobber's been around for over a decade. At one time he was a competitor. And I was, quite honest, I was envious of what they were doing out of there and the amount of work that Daryl was putting in on that site. So it's been, you know, I'm probably missing some of our rankings, of course. We have the various types of rankings, not just the top 100 Roto rankings, but his top 300 keeper rankings. You've got separate ones for defensemen, goalies. Now we have salary cap leagues over there. Gosh, I'm probably missing something here. But it's really, for the fantasy hockey, anybody who's into fantasy hockey, you'll find a lot of what you're looking over there. Line combinations, and that's a big one too, with frozen tools, the starting goalie information, linked to goalie post.
There's tons of stuff. Yeah, no, I for sure. I'm a big fan. I would highly encourage any of our listeners, if you haven't checked out Dobber Hockey, do so. You guys have a Discord server as well, is that correct?
Frozen Tools does, yeah. I haven't spent much time over there. Honestly, my 12-year-old son is more of an expert at Discord than I am. So,
yeah.
But there is one for Frozen Tools anyway.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, sorry, John, go ahead.
I just want to say I'm really excited for Frozen Tools. I've never used it before. So that and the goalie lineups. Like, I used to just go through Twitter every day, and it used to drive me mental. Mm-hmm. And having those options there, it's just going to be fantastic. And take some of the stress off of fantasy hockey.
Yeah. I mean, the goalie post had been around for a while. It was acquired by Dauber a few years ago, I believe. And but just, you know, the idea of just kind of having this information as you set your lineup, like how do you know who's going to start? You have those, you know, those busy nights, as I call them, the Tuesday, Thursday, Saturdays, usually it's how it sort of plays out in the schedule. And you have three goalies on your team, or maybe you have four, and you only have two starting positions. Which goalie do you start? How do you know which one to, you know, which ones are playing that day? So, I mean, now Yahoo kind of posts the green check mark if you're using their league to indicate that this goalie is starting. But, I mean, before that, it was sort of a real guessing game. So, you know, any sort of website. And so a website also has email notifications too. So you don't have to keep, you know, refreshing the site all the time. You just get, you know, you can just get it customized for whatever team you, whatever goalie, whatever team they play for. So it just sends you those emails. I mean, nowadays I just get them all sent to me because I have multiple teams and I just have to, you know, I'm just sort of keeping track of that stuff anyway for when I write. Right. So, you know, it gives me an idea of what goalie, if I want to write about a goalie in the Ramblings, I at least, you know, okay, well, you know, this goalie's starting. So
well, that's handy. I actually didn't know that you could get email notifications through Goalie Post. That's great. I'm one of those guys, I'm always checking Twitter or Daily Faceoff or Dub Rock. You know, I'm just constantly refreshing the page, right? But that's good. Good to know.
Whatever's easier, yeah.
For sure. You know, just going back to writers quickly, how many writers or contributors work for Dub Hockey?
Roughly. I'd say there's about a dozen for Dauber Hockey, usually, based on the number of articles. I mean, there's myself, Dauber, Mike Clifford, and Alex McLean, who handle the Ramblings. We have a lot of numerous other writers that cover various other types of articles. I'd say it's usually about 12, 13, 14, maybe. Usually that's the entire team based on the number of articles. Over at Dauber Prospects, they have quite a few more. They have a number of, I don't know how many, but they have a whole whack of contributors over there for the cover various teams. So yeah, there's quite a few. And there's also other people behind the scenes, like Eric Dow runs the Frozen Tools. Mike Amato runs the Goalie Post. So there's, you know, other people, Mario Prada does the kind of special project work. So there's a lot of other people that kind of behind the scenes. I think there's an IT person as well. So it's, yeah, quite a lot of people that contribute in some way.
For sure. Takes a team. Where does Dauber Hockey acquire its statistical data? I've always wondered that, like, because everything's up to date, right? It's very current. So, I mean, it's not manual uploads, obviously. How does that work?
You know what? I couldn't answer that question. <It's> like, maybe it's like, you know, the how they get the caramilk inside the caramel bar. I don't know. No, seriously. It is, Eric would know. I know there's some stats aggregation sites out there or something that will, that they can get their information from. But I'm not exactly sure how it works. I know it's outdated, like the line combinations are usually a few minutes, you know, a few minutes old, I guess you could say. So you can go in during the middle of the first period of a game and you can already see which lines are already being used out there.
Yeah, it's incredible. And that's why I wanted to bring it up, because the information is so current and it's hard to get, obviously, but you guys make it happen. So that's great.
Yeah.
I kind of want to touch on the annual fantasy hockey guide, because obviously this being our fantasy hockey guide episode, myself being a fan and obviously you being with Dauber Hockey, we thought we'd talk about that. So maybe just let our listeners know a little bit about what does it cover and you know, where can they find it? How much does it cost? And what makes it unique?
They can purchase it for $10.99 just as a standalone product, or they can purchase it as part of a package. You can get discounts on other publications, like if you combine it with the Prospects Report, you can get it as it's called the Ultimate Fantasy Package. Or the Keeper, as you should say, the Keeper League packages, those two. The Ultimate one covers more than that, the Midseason Guide, the Playoff List. There's now the French version of it as well. You can combine it with the Fantasy Hockey Geek as well. So usually what I recommend is, I guess you could get the Fantasy Hockey Guide itself. Obviously, there's a lot of information, but you can combine it from some other publications to get a discount on it. Now, for the guide itself, it covers, we go team by team. A big part of this is going through all 32 teams and giving a just running through potential line combinations, power plays, just write-ups on different players and the players of interest. I wrote some of those, the team blurbs, I'll call them. Usually the stuff on goaltending is a big one. Things like other categories like hits and block shots, contract year stuff. So it kind of goes through upsides of different players, some advanced stats if you really want to dig deep in with some of those players. There's also some articles in there. There's a schedule breakdown, which I find is a really nice tool in here, where if I'm looking to see, certain teams that have the most off days, or, teams that, for instance, back-to-backs, if I, have goalies, how many goalies, how many starts the starter get. There's other ones. You get your list of sleepers, a long list of sleepers, busts, Calder nominees, as well as breakouts, Calder Trophy. So there's a lot more in there, and you get the downloadable spreadsheet too, where you can sort by points, or you can sort by other categories. You can use it to, there's different, there's a separate one for goaltenders. So there's quite a bit of information in there. It's I think it's be really great value.
Yeah, given the price, I think it's a great buy. There's a lot of great information in there. I think the projections, you guys have done a great job with those. It's just under 200 pages, about 170 some pages. So lots of info there to digest for sure. I'll include a link in the show notes here for all of our listeners if they're curious as to what that looks like and what the price or where they can get it. So definitely check that out, guys. I guess moving on from there, I'm assuming you still play fantasy on a regular basis.
Yeah, have to on this job.
Of course. So what would you say is your favorite format? Like whether it's season-long redraft, head-to-head leagues, or keeper, dynasty, DFS, like what do you play in the majority of your time?
Well, I play in three leagues. I used to play in seven, and I found that was too difficult for me to keep track of. So now I'm down to three. I know people that are in the, I've talked to people in this that are into the double digits, and quite honestly, I don't know how they do it. I don't think you can give your team enough TLC if you play in that many leagues.
No.
One I play in is, I have a keeper league that's an auction that I just moved over to Fantrax last year. I play in a limited keeper, a four keep experts league on Yahoo, and I play a single season league in Yahoo as well, which is also quite competitive. So I say I like my roto leagues. I like the multiple category leagues. Those ones are fun with a different. I've kind of gotten away from just pure points, okay. Which I think is how, back in the day when I first started doing hockey pools, the ones that would come in the newspaper and you would pick, the little box pools where you'd
yep.
pick, one out of five players, I've kind of gotten away from that a little bit. I just find that, the online of what a site like Yahoo has to offer. And I guess in terms of preference, I mean, I like Yahoo. I can't complain about it. I know some people don't like it, but that's, I'm used to it. I'm comfortable with it. The Fantrax is really impressive though too, in terms of its the number of features that you can get in that league, and their I find their customer service to be outstanding. So I would say I don't have any problem with any one of them. ESPN I've used a bit in the past too, for another league I had a few years ago. And the CBS was okay. I use it for my baseball league.
Okay.
But in terms of hockey, I moved from CBS to Fantrax. I wasn't really happy with what CBS had to offer, and I felt that the league would be so much better if we moved it to Fantrax. And I think I think now it is. And I'm glad I've made the switch.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot more about Fantrax from different fantasy personalities around. They're just saying that there are a lot more options in terms of customizing your leagues and as a commissioner, what you can do with it, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There's a ton of them. I mean, if you however you wanted to form your league, if you were bringing it in from someplace else, or if you and you had a lot of specific rules, it's easy to make that transfer. There wasn't really much of a learning curve for anybody. I know I didn't really get too many complaints from my league members about Fantrax. You know, they the passive complained about a lot of other stuff, but they didn't really complain about Fantrax. But it's yeah, or if you're starting a league from scratch and you have this vision of how you'd like the league to look, then I think they can make it happen for you.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Categories is something I got into a little bit. Bruce, you and I in our Yahoo League. I actually kind of enjoy it. Like most of my experience, what we've done is points head to head. But you know, categories actually it's fun. It's a different change of pace and it makes you look at all the players in a different light, right? I mean, looking at face-offs and different categories, hits, PIMs, blocks, all that kind of stuff comes into play, right? So, I find it interesting. I was going to ask you about competitive leagues. You covered that already. That's great. So let's jump into maybe some of the fantasy hockey draft stuff. So to you, what does the ideal fantasy hockey draft look like? You know, we talked about this with another guest previously. It doesn't have to be round by round, but maybe just kind of give us a general overview. Like what kind of players are you looking for in the first few rounds, in the mid rounds, the later rounds? You know, what's your mindsets there?
Yeah, it's really depends. I would say, you know, first tip I would give to anybody in doing a fantasy draft is to really keep an open mind. I know sometimes people get locked into drafting certain players. But I find that, you know, things can really change in terms of how you draft. What that is, I think has changed for me through the years. You know, I was doing my mock drafts this year. I was really trying to, you know, stay away from drafting goalies too early. I listened to your previous podcast with Apples and Genos, and I think he's made a great point about the, not drafting goalies too early. I think that has been a sort of a trend for that the last few years. But at the same time, you do want to, you know, it is a sort of a limited supply. So you have to be careful that you don't leave, you know, you don't want to leave yourself high and dry in that category either, because they just don't have the same number of options on the waiver wire as you do for other categories. So you may want to have, you know, just for peace of mind, you may want to have a goalie in the first five or six rounds. But as we're finding in these drafts this year, you're finding great value with the goalie position in the later rounds. So it's, you know, I remember in the past I'd have drafts where I had two goalies in the first five rounds, and can't see myself doing that again, to be honest with you. I would just say looking at value of players in terms of what's available, like looking at average draft position. I use the fantasy hockey ranking system, Fantasy Hockey Geek ranking system, to help me sort of value players. And you know, oftentimes a certain player will, I find they'll be around, and I may end up drafting them in multiple leagues just because they have a, you know, maybe a higher ranking than what maybe, you know, the provider like Yahoo will have, for instance.
Yeah.
So I think in terms of, I don't like to wait on defensemen too long either. I think there's, you know, certain defensemen that will kind of stand out in the early rounds. But I'm also learning too that you, in years where times where I've drafted defensemen and goalies, you know, large concentration on them, I've also kind of left my scoring, where I maybe had limited elite scoring too. So I think this year I may be kind of going back to maybe my strategy for my early days, which is to really target forwards and scoring, just because they're sort of a predictable, you know, sort of a known quantity, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, you can, you know, the, you know, you, if I said name the top five scores in the league in the last 5 years, chances are you'd probably get at least three or four of them correct. And they probably most likely would be back, if not in the top five, then certainly around it.
Yeah, that's all music to my ears, because that's what I've been finding too in some of the early mock drafts, is that you can find some really good value in rounds 10 through 15 for goaltenders. Guys like Thatcher Demko were available there. Carter Hart's been going really late. Tristan Jarry is another guy who not everybody's high on, but John's laughing at me because he doesn't like Tristan Jarry. but you know, I would say an above average goaltender on a good team, right? So he's available there. Mike Smith is another guy who not everybody's high on, but can return good value. I think Bruce, you had him last year, right?
Yes, I did.
Right. So I would agree. I kind of subscribe to that theory that we can kind of hold off on goaltenders. Listening to Nate talk last week, I was totally sold on Zero G, but now kind of like you're saying, Ian, you get into the draft and you kind of find, well, if I don't have a goaltender by round 5 to 10, I am limiting my options, right? And I've been finding you kind of got to grab somebody, by around 10 or 12.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, then you're kind of looking around going, okay, well, you know, am I okay with somebody like, you know, with Mike Smith as my first goalie?
Yeah.
If you're an Oilers fan, I guess maybe you're going to live with that for 2 years.
No, that scares me. That scares me a bit, for sure.
But he's going to get the starts. I mean, he's going to be the starter. You know that Tippett's going to lean on him. So he's going to get the starts. And, you know, the Oilers they look like they're not going to be a terrible team either. There's a good chance they'll be a playoff team in that conference. So, you know, it's not as bad an option as you think. We know we like to, we like to dunk on Mike Smith, but he's not a terrible an option. But yeah, it's just kind of like you say you're going to do it, and then you kind of go, you start to see that call it a goalie run. Yep. You know, oftentimes in these drafts, in the past, I've noticed that right around round 3, then these goalies start falling off the board, and, you know, owners are copycats of each other. It's like, now this goalie's gone, now that goalie's gone, and that goalie's gone. I better go grab a goalie here and...
Totally.
Yeah.
You see it every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On that thought, I guess I'm just going to ask. So we had some listener questions, and one of them pertains to kind of what we're talking about here with goaltending. So I guess we kind of got your thoughts on zero G strategy, but this listener, his name's Jay. He asked, other than Vasilevsky and Hellebuck, which goalies are you targeting in the earlier rounds of a 12 team standard Yahoo draft?
I would say in my, I kind of had a top five goalies that I had ranked. Sort of Vasilevsky and Hellebuck were two of them. The other three I had were Darcy Kemper, Juuse Saros, and Semyon Varlamov. I would say those are the ones, if you're going to go in the earlier rounds, like say around top 50, those are probably the ones that you want to draft. I'd say everybody else can kind of wait. Oh, Robin Lehner. I forgot about Robin Lehner. He should be in that mix as well. I think Saros might be just outside my top five in there. And, you know, you could make an argument that you could draft him in the top 50, certainly, especially if other goalies really start to, you know, fall off the board. But yeah, you know, Robin Lehner, I think, is another big one. As long as he doesn't get injured, he could have a really big year in Vegas now that he's not time-sharing with Fleury or anything like that. So those are, in terms of early, I'll say in terms of top 50 picks, in the top 50, those are probably guys you want to look at.
Okay. And just back to Darcy Kemper quickly. So he's a guy that honestly kind of scares me a bit. Honestly, he's an elite goaltender playing for an elite team, but his injury history is concerning, right? So,
yeah, I mean, he's had some great numbers in Arizona. That's one of the reasons I like Kemper, but it does come back to that injury history where you kind of wonder, is he going to, you know, is he going to last couple of seasons in Arizona have been sketchy because of injuries. It's like a groin pull, and you think, okay, day to day, and then groin pull stretch out to weeks and maybe perhaps even over a month. you know, and that's why you maybe want to look at somebody like Pavel Francouz in the, you know, either as a handcuff later or just as a late round sleeper. Because if he gets injured again, then, I mean, you know, one of the top teams in the NHL, that's who they're looking at to start. And, you know, I know the Avalanche probably would not have rather not have lost Grubauer, but it just didn't seem like they were going to have the cap space to fit everybody in. And it's unfortunate because Grubauer also took a big hit. His value yeah. going to Seattle. And, you know, it was one league that I'm in where I was planning to keep Grubauer, but now I'm not so sure. I probably won't now. It's the deep four league. So,
no thanks. I guess, back to Varlamov as well. So with Sorokin being there, like I had that tandem last year and they were great. Mm-hmm. I think Sorokin's going a bit higher this year. I'd have to go check to see exactly what his ADP is in Yahoo, but you know, is that a bit of a risky pick in your mind? Like, you know, it might be hard to acquire both guys, or are you just going to go with Varlamov, assuming he's going to be the starter?
I think I'd still take Varlamov as a starter, but in terms of confidence that he'll be the starter, I think I had this probably 60-40 in the pool. I know I wrote it. Dauber may have decided to change it because he gets the final say in these, but I said that it was in the Dauber guide. We do have a goaltending projection of how confident we are in the starter. So 65% is what we had for Varlamov. Now I'd still be okay with drafting Sorokin. I would still put him in the top 100. I've seen rankings that even have him in the top 50, where I think people flat out have said, I think he's going to be the starter this year. I know on my one keeper, my keeper salary cap, it's not a salary cap, it's an auction league. I'm still trying to get Varlamov. I think he's still, you know, I think after last season's playoffs, I don't think you can underestimate him. I would say if there's one team that you should be okay with drafting, you know, either goalie within the top 100, it's the Islanders. Yeah. I mean, you're going to get great numbers. Even if somebody starts only, you know, less than, you know, only 40% of the time, you get a guy who's starting 40% with mostly with 2/3 quality starts, as opposed to getting somebody that starts 60-70% of the time and only gets maybe, you know, maybe half or less than half, you know. Okay. But it all depends on your league setup too. Like if it's just wins that you're chasing, then, you know, maybe you lower those Islander goalies down a bit. But if it's, you know, if you get goals against average, save percentage, you know, then you really, you know, that's where you're going to boost them up. And sometimes less is more. Sometimes you can't just worry about chasing those wins. Also got to look at those ratios, or do you lose points if you allow goals, or if you take an L, do you lose points for that? So that's all, those are all things to consider too.
Yeah, I totally agree. I just looked here on Yahoo's site. So Varlamov's going at an average of 44.7 and Sorokin at 58.1. So they're going fairly close together. So chances are it's going to be tough to draft them both, but you make a very valid point. I think either guy is going to provide good peripherals and close to 50% of the starts.
I'd be happy just getting my hands on one of them. So I know in my other league, I'm not the one I'm chasing Varlamov. I know it's going to be impossible to get Sorokin because unless I came up with an offer to the Sorokin owner that they couldn't refuse. So.
Yeah. And I guess since we're talking about goalies, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about Spencer Knight. What are your thoughts on him for next season?
I think he's got a good chance at some good starts. They had a really good end of season, and the fact that the Panthers used him in the playoffs shows that they have some faith in him. Now, a word of caution with Knight. And this isn't so much if he struggles. He may play great, and the Panthers showed that they're willing to go with the hot goalie for a stretch, like they did with Chris Drieger. But ultimately, I guess it's really, and this is a theory that Dauber has stated time and time again. It's about following the money. It's the salary cap. Who's getting paid? They're the ones. It's not merit based anymore. It's who's getting the salary, and you know that. We know that Bobrovsky has that contract. He has that $10 million contract that's going to pay until you know, that's another 6 years or whatever on it. So, you know, it's the sunk cost theory, I guess. It would be, you know, too expensive for a buyout. So they're going to give him every opportunity. It just looks, it looks bad on the team just to have an asset like that, that they've invested that much money in, just wasting away on the bench. You know, it would, it, you know, it was, Knight would have to clearly be better in order to get over half the starts, and not just a little bit better, but it would be a lot better, like, you know, maybe allowing, you know, close to one fewer goal per game kind of thing. But I mean, there's still value with Knight. I mean, if he's post decent ratios, then, you know, he's still worth having on your team. He's still, you know, I'd still take a chance on him, but he's not going to be a high volume starter, not with, you know, not with the guy in front of him.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree with that. Any other sort of early mock draft observations you want to share, value picks or players you're thinking are maybe going way too high or way too low?
In my ramblings last weekend, I listed some. I've done three mock drafts so far, and I was probably to do another one this week here. I'm hoping to anyway. And I listed some players that I thought were being drafted too low, and some that were being drafted too high. I thought my I have a bit more of a list of players that I thought were being drafted too low, and I think there's some really great value in some of the players that that were being drafted too low. Like, you had somebody like a Kevin Fiala who is being drafted on average at around 140. That doesn't mean that, you know, if you want to grab a player like that, you can probably grab him a few, you know, maybe at least a couple of rounds ahead. It doesn't mean pick him at, say, you know, at number 50 or something like that, if you're really targeting him, but just kind of waiting. You know, it's a kind of about sort of getting value, picking at the right time there. So another one that I saw was Tuvo Teravainen.
Yes.
Was another one I thought was being too low. And I think that was because of the, that was because of his injury last year. You know, and his production, of course, being down. I thought that was another, big one I thought was falling out. You mentioned Tristan Jarry before. And I know people that there's a recency effect. I remember Jarry in the playoffs and how disastrous he looked against the Islanders.
Just ask John Bruce, I'll tell you.
Judgment. It's like, okay, you know, you might not have watched many Penguins games, but you're watching the playoffs and you go, well, that's, you know, he's not a good goalie. Why am I going to draft him? But you look back at his regular season numbers, and after a slow start, he was, you know, he was pretty good. And he's going to get a lot of starts. There's nobody there that's really going to challenge him. Maybe, you know, maybe they give Casey just two starts in a row if he's hot, but he's not, there's really not much there that's going to, you know. So and he's getting drafted. I noted he was getting drafted behind guys like Mackenzie Blackwood and Kevin Lankinen, who are I don't think their teams are as strong as the Penguins are, nor are they will they start as many games. So I thought, you know, you provide great value there. I think Jarry was actually in Dauber's, I believe it was a top five.
I did see
in
that
in terms of the, in terms of his goalie keeper rankings. And, you know, I think there were a few people that were going like, what are you, you know, why is he so high? And, you know,
I guess
Dauber swears by me. Yeah, he's number five in the keeper rankings. And I don't, that might be a little higher than what I like Jarry, but still it's, you know, I just, you know, just to reiterate, I don't think he's as bad a goalie as what he's made out to be.
No, definitely not. I tried to make a case for him here in the last episode. John and Bruce weren't having it, but, you know, in the last, I think it was the last quarter or maybe the last half of last season. Anyway, he posted 20 quality starts, which was tied with Vasilevskiy for first overall. And his save percentage was around 919. Yeah. He looked really good. Like it or not, the numbers are there. He's on a good team. I think it's a great value pick, like you said. Teravainen, yeah, I absolutely agree. I've actually got him in my notes to talk about later. He's being drafted currently around 139, so the 12th round of a 12-team draft. He's being drafted 100%, and like you said, it's just due to the injury problems he had last season, but he's probably going to play with Aho and Svechnikov 5-on-5, and he's going to get first power play time too. So Yeah, I would expect he's going to have a good season. And at that ADP, he's a guy I'm after for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I was going to get myself set back to where I was. Is there maybe just one piece of advice you'd like to give to listeners for their upcoming fantasy hockey drafts? Like if you could be one piece of advice, what would it be?
I would just say be flexible. Again, just, you know, you may not always want to target a certain player, but just look at value, of what, you know, what a player is. I mean, oftentimes I try to go best player available, but, at the same time, I do want to try to fill, positional needs as well. But that becomes more apparent in the later rounds as you kind of, as the value of which player is better than the other kind of gets blurred a little bit. It gets a little closer, then you're kind of drafting more towards needs. But in the earlier rounds, it's kind of, best player available. As I've mentioned, you can, you know, you may not win with your, you know, with your first pick or your first few picks, but you can certainly lose if you, you know, pick wrong. So,
yeah.
I would say in a big one, in another fantasy article I was reading, I don't even think it was hockey for that matter. I think a big one that, people sometimes forget about is to know what your league settings are. It's not the most exciting thing to do to sit there and look at all your settings and how many points are allocated for this stat or that or whatever. You know, it might be a little more sexy to compare players and see who's better, but it really depends on the league format. Right. And not all ranking systems are, you know, are designed for, you know, a certain type of league that has a certain types of nuances that you would have. So I would just say knowing those settings will give you an idea of what player to draft. That's where the fantasy hockey geek I find is really, really useful, because it can create those customized rankings for you that are based on what you enter in as league settings, what you enter in as players, how many players do you need to draft at what positions, all that information just compiles it. And in the end, when you get your spreadsheet, you probably want to look at it and refine it just to make sure that it's, you might have a player near the top of your rankings. You go, I'm not going to draft them. You know, I'm not going to draft them in the first round or the first few rounds. I can probably wait until, you know, maybe the middle rounds. And this is a player that I can target here too. So all of it is really relative. I would say really approach, you know, coming back to really approaching your draft with sort of a very, you know, player valuation in mind, and where to draft people. You know, is it, you know, if I draft this player, you know, I'm looking at this player and that player. The one that I'm more likely to draft is the player that I think is going to be gone. If I wait on this player, then this is the player that I think is more likely going to be gone by right. The time I pick next. So I'll give you a few strategies in there, but I think those are key.
Okay. No, I appreciate that. Fantasy Hockey Geek actually opened my eyes a bit to the whole league format situation. A few years ago, I actually had purchased it, and I couldn't understand why guys like Tom Wilson were going so high, you know, like just as a, as a novice fantasy hockey player, you understand, you know, yeah. I think Brady Tkachuk is a great case in point, talking about league format, right? Because he's a player that is going, some are suggesting should go in the first round or kind of at the turn or in the second somewhere. Yeah. And it's because of his category coverage, right? He's mm-hmm. potentially going to put up 300 shots and 300 hits next season, plus Pim's coverage.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just, again, look at your league format and what makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Tkachuk is a player. He's a great example of a player who's much more valuable in multi-category than pure scoring. In pure scoring, you probably won't draft him top 50.
No.
But, you know, it's because of the high shot total, it's because of the high hit total that, you know, you're going to get really good bang for your buck. And so that's why you got to draft him much higher. I think I drafted him in the third or fourth round in my single season league last year, and I was, you know, always impressed with what, you know, he could do. I had to find other scorers because he's not going to score relative to other forwards that are picked around him.
Right.
But he's certainly going to cover those other categories that, that you're competing with head to head.
Yep. Yeah. Agreed. Okay. Before we move on to our rapid fire segment here, I just wanted to, there's one more listener question, just kind of pertains to some of our current event stuff here. So, Obviously, Kotkaniemi signed with Carolina on that offer sheet situation. Our listener, Keenan, is asking, where do you see Kotkaniemi fitting in Carolina? And who has the stronger fantasy season, Kotkaniemi or Christian Dvorak?
I would say, picking of the two, I would say Dvorak. I think Montreal in the end, you know, in terms of the short term, it may have been a blessing in disguise that Kotkaniemi was given that very lucrative offer sheet. Mm-hmm. So I think I would pick, if you're picking between the two, I would say Dvorak. Kotkaniemi, I wrote a fantasy take on Kotkaniemi for Dauber on the weekend, if you want to check it out there. I kind of had him, we usually try to get our fantasy takes out the same day, just because people want to know, and they're already kind of, you know, it's really sort of a hot topic, and, you know, before everybody, you know, the hockey world's moved on to the next topic kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I said, at the time, I thought, well, he's a center. He's, you know, he can't be going any higher than the fourth line unless he's going to be playing on the wing. Because they've got Aho, they've got Trocheck, they've got Jordan Staal. But then the news next day came out, Don Waddell said, oh, he's going to play on the wing. And, okay, well, then you can probably move him up to the third line, the wing, left wing, and, you know, maybe even second line. So, you know, that's a bit better for his value. Mind you, it might be a player that's going to take some time, even though Carolina has invested heavily in 1 year for him. So, that being said, I think I prefer Dvorak, just because I think is, you know, going to Montreal, I think is good for his value. Arizona is kind of turning into a
wasteland
upon the desert or the wasteland for fantasy values. And you're not going to be much around him, but in Montreal, he has more options. You can put him on if Nick Suzuki's on the first line, you could put Dvorak on the second line with somebody like, you know, Brendan Gallagher and maybe Mike Hoffman.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's better for his value. So I like, maybe long-term Kotkaniemi is the better player. If you're looking at keeper upside, I mean, Kotkaniemi may be the one you want to go with instead. Dvorak's a little bit older, and we've kind of seen what he's been able to produce. He's a bit more of a known quantity, I guess.
Okay. Perfect. Well, with that, let's move on to our rapid-fire segment here. So we're just going to go through these, I guess, fairly quickly. Who is your pick to win the Vezina this year?
I am going to go with, Connor Hellebuyck.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So you like Winnipeg then?
I think they've improved their defense. So I would, I think that's going to help his numbers. I think that's why you're drafting him as a top tier goalie.
I would agree. On that note, I've heard, so are you taking Leonard or Hellebuyck first? Like, where do you rank those guys?
I think I would put Hellebuyck slightly ahead of Lehner. I think Lehner could have the better season, but it's all contingent on him remaining healthy. I think Hellebuyck is a safer bet. Okay. Although the ratios might not be quite as good as Lehner. Lehner could be outstanding, but again, it's all about, can he last the season?
I totally agree. Again, we talked about this in the last episode. I think Hellebuyck, he's so durable. He's shown he can play 60 plus games without much issue. So,
yeah.
Okay. Who is your pick to win the Hart Trophy?
I got to go McDavid. I didn't see any reason otherwise. So, I mean, last year he was completely dominant. So maybe it's my lack of imagination here, or to come out with a real deep reach here. But yeah, let's go McDavid.
Yeah, I don't think you have to galaxy brain that one. He's he's been pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Who is your pick to win the Rocket Richard Trophy?
I'm going to go with Austin Matthews again. Again, lack of creativity in the pick again, but unless the wrist is a real issue, he just had a big lead on there that I think is probably the safe pick again.
Yeah, I would agree. Your pick to win the Selke Trophy?
I'm going to go with Barkov on this one. I honestly can't remember if he won it last year or not, but I think he's just such an effective two-way player. And I've got him on my fantasy team, so that's my keeper team, so that doesn't hurt.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I've heard that pick come up a few times. Pick to win the Norris Trophy.
I had a tough one with this one. Nobody really jumps out at me. So maybe I'm going to go with Adam Fox again. I know there's a lot of repeat picks, but the NHL seems to like those players. So
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just impressive. He just looked on a, when D'Angelo left the team, he just, took over the power play. And it just, it was just, look, he took his game to a completely another level.
Yeah, and I think it's not just offensive numbers too, right? His defensive metrics look good as well. And, yeah. And you're right. So the NHL does like guys mm-hmm. that can actually play defense as defensemen too. So,
yep.
Okay. Your pick to win the Calder Trophy this year?
I'm going to go with Cole Caulfield. I think he showed enough in last year's playoffs, the fact that he's a rookie. If he can stay on that, I guess it was Montreal's top line with Nick Suzuki and Tyler Toffoli. I think that's, I liked him. I thought he was, I just got better and better as the playoffs went on.
Okay. Yeah, no, we really liked Cole Caulfield too. he should be good again this year. So,
yeah.
Jack Adams Trophy.
Oh boy, I'm gonna go with Quenneville, just because I think Florida looked really good again, and they could even take another step forward this year. I think they're building something really good there.
Okay, yeah, like all the moves they made this offseason. I think Reinhardt and signing Bennett and having Duclair come back.
Yeah, I mean, usually the winners are from a team that really takes a big step forward. In terms of who that team could be. I'll just go with Quenneville in this one.
Okay, safe bet there.
Yeah.
Your pick to win the President's Trophy.
President's Trophy. I'm going to go with Vegas.
Okay.
I think they're playing in easily the top team in a weak division. So I think that's going to help them rack up some points.
Yeah, we would agree on this podcast as well.
Yeah.
Stanley Cup final matchup.
I am going to go with Colorado and Florida, and I'm going to pick Colorado to win.
Okay, interesting. That was Nate's pick from Apples and Genos as well.
Okay. I don't remember making that pick, but okay.
And then Stanley Cup winner.
Yeah, Colorado.
So, yeah, okay. And then who is your favorite NHL team?
My favorite NHL team, you've gotten a hint because I'm wearing a Vancouver Giants shirt from the place I am. It is the Vancouver Canucks.
Okay, so just really quickly, give us a brief kind of overview of that team and what you think what the expectations are for Vancouver next season.
You know what? I read some, I think it was Adam Gretz who writes for, it might be NBC, gave a really, I think, a succinct description of the Canucks, that they make moves like they kind of handle their team, or Benning handles their team, like they are one move away from a Stanley Cup when they are much further away than that. they are putting in all their chips in this year. This is, obviously with the picking up all the, OEL and Connor Garland, they're going to score a lot. I'm going to say that. They're a good team to invest in fantasy-wise. I'm going to have writing some of the team previews over at Dauber Hockey, and I have the Canucks one coming. It'll be coming up probably in the next week or two. And I'm going to tell you, this is a good team to invest in fantasy-wise. Because you're going to get a lot of goals, and a player like Garland might not even get on the first power play, get on the second power play, and he might be bringing in a player like Pod Colson for that. He might have a great rookie year. Demko's going to be okay in net. He's shown that he can be outstanding. The defense is going to be a problem though. I'll just say it was terrible in the 56 game season in the bubble. And I really don't see how it's gotten a whole lot better in this off season. It may have gotten worse, which is going to be a big problem if this team fancies itself to be a Stanley Cup contender. So I'd say, kind of 50-50 to make the playoffs. I know there's people out there that say that's too optimistic. Maybe I am, but I think they're going to be a fun team to watch anyway. Except if you're a fan.
Fair enough. Okay. And settle this argument for me. Do you like OEL or yes or no?
I like him. I think that I know that the analytics groups has kind of been hard on him. I'll sort of give him a year or two just to see just to kind of form my opinion. Just because they'll say, you know, maybe, you know, he signed that contract in Arizona, but maybe his heart wasn't into it. It's not a hockey market, you know, maybe coming to Vancouver will help him. You know, he will, you know, depending on what you think as a defender in fantasy, I don't mind him. He's a consistent, he's on pace for 40 points. And if Quinn Hughes gets injured, or if he, you know, heaven forbid, he's a holdout this year because he still hasn't gotten his contract, then, you know, I'd really like him on the first power play. I think, you know, it wouldn't be, I was getting into a discussion with some people on Twitter on this. I think if Hughes missed the entire season, I think OEL could get 50 points.
Okay.
You know, I don't think he's, you know, I'll kind of wait and see. It might be, I didn't watch a lot of Arizona games in the last couple of years. So I can't really say, you know, it might be a disaster in his own end. We'll have to kind of, I'd say the kind of the jury's out on him. I'm okay with the acquisition, but we just have to see how that contract ages. I don't think it will, but you might be paying more for, you know, you're hoping to get, you know, more, you know, that it's going to be, you know, it's, you know, it's like a night of drinking. You're going to have your hangover at the end. It's going to be horrible to deal with, but at the beginning, you're going to have your
nice,
you know, you're going to have a good time. So we'll see.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we've just been bickering about this over the past few podcasts. So I think there's still value there, fantasy value anyway, in terms of OEL, especially just being in a new environment. So
yeah, absolutely.
Great to hear. Okay, so with that, we're going to go through some breakout and some bounce back candidates with you quickly. We don't want to keep you on all night. We're approaching an hour here, but what we'd like to do is breakout candidates. If you could give us one at forward, one at defense, one at goal for the upcoming season.
Sure. So just looking at your list there, one that I like as a, I would say the one on your list I think I like as a potential breakout is Jack Hughes, just because I think he's sort of built on his production. I think at the beginning of last year, I think he showed some signs of, you know, this is the breakout. I remember one of my friends who's a Devils fan was texting me and he was so excited about Jack Hughes and this is, you know, he's going to be amazing and he's on, you know, he's on my team. Obviously he wasn't able to keep up that momentum for the entire season, but I think when you watch him, you can see that the skill is there. It's still kind of a little rough around the edges. But I think there's something to build on there. I think having Dougie Hamilton there is going to help spark the offense a little bit there too, particularly on the power play. It's not a matter of him being, you know, he's not behind a bunch of other veterans on that team either. So I think he's going to get good minutes. I'd say that might be the guy who I would pick as a potential breakout.
Okay. Yeah, we like Jack Hughes for sure for next year. He's one of our breakout candidates, definitely. Defenseman?
I would say for the D-men that you have there, I'd probably go with McAvoy. Haven't been big on Heiskanen, just because I think he gets drafted a little too high, given what he's produced. I think aside from that playoff in the bubble where the Stars made it to the final, where he kind of set the world on fire. I think I probably like McAvoy here. I think if he gets first unit power play minutes, I think he could have a big year, and I think he could get to that 50 points that's there. The other guys that are there, I think, have some, maybe some lesser, you know, maybe in a, you know, kind of later rounds, can definitely provide some value there. Vince Dunn, I'm a little curious about too, because, you know, him going to a new team, you know, it's kind of a blank slate. Didn't really get, you know, he was behind guys in St. Louis. He was behind Pietrangelo. He was behind Torrey Krug. But with Seattle now, he's, you know, he's got a chance to say, okay, we can put him, you know, heck, they can probably put him on the first unit power plays, either going to be him or Giordano. And, you know, Giordano is, you know, is on the decline right now. So it could be Vince Dunn.
Well, and like we saw in Calgary, Giordano lost power play time to Rasmus Anderson. So, you know, why wouldn't they give Dunn the opportunity in Seattle anyway? That's kind of why they drafted him, I think. But
yeah.
And then McAvoy. So if you're going to handicap it for us, what are the odds you think he gets first unit power play time next season over Kreslik?
I'd say about 75%. You can't be too sure. I think it was because I believe McAvoy was a right-handed shot, whereas Kreslik was a left. And I think on many systems, the left shot works better in terms of distribution.
Right.
But I think that was I kind of read somewhere that was the reason that they kind of kept him on the second unit and kind of paired him up with another defenseman on there. You know, I would, you know, McAvoy is their, he is their top defenseman now. I think there's more potentially there than there is with someone like Kreslik. And you've got a really, you know, really solid power play unit in Boston. I think you want to have the best, you know, the defenseman with the most upside manning the point here. And I think that would have to be McAvoy.
Okay. Awesome. Goaltenders, and I mean, if there's somebody like that's not on this list, by all means, go ahead. But what do you think for goaltenders in terms of breakouts?
I had some. It was a. I know somebody picked Demko, sort of in that first group, which was kind of an interesting one. And again, it might be depend on what you think of the Canucks. Allmark, I think, from that group could be top 100. I've actually put in a trade request in one of my leagues for my keeper league for Allmark. So I'm going to see what the owner of his team thinks. He's trying. He's got some extra goalies, and I'm kind of short on goalies. So I don't know. He hasn't gotten back to me, which might be a bad sign. But I like it. They signed him for the 4-year contract. Yeah. You know, this isn't just, you know, he's just keeping the seat warm until Tuukka Rask is healthy and they get around to signing him, you know, or for Jeremy Swayman. This is, they've invested a 4-year contract in him, which means they think he's going to be, you know, if not their starter, then at least in some sort of timeshare. So, you know, his value obviously took a big boost going from Buffalo to Boston, which,
yep,
you know, would have taken a big boost going from Buffalo to anywhere. But, you know, to Boston, there was that opening.
Yeah.
But Cal Peterson, I really like too. I listed him in my players being drafted too low. Like, he was getting drafted number, you know, around number 45. Like,
he's consistently been available in the last 3 rounds of every mock draft I've done. Like, he's just sitting there. Yeah. No one's looking at him.
Yeah. Like, you know, really good value, really good potential value. You could pick him after, if you're going to the zero goalie strategy, he's another goalie you could pick. You could wait till, you know, after pick 150, and Cal Peterson would probably be waiting for you.
Yeah, definitely. Just back to Boston quickly. One player I've been hearing lots about is Jeremy Swayman, right? And he played very, very well last year in a limited sample size. But now we've got Ullmark here to contend with. It sounds like Rask is coming back potentially in the new year. If you're a fantasy manager, how are you approaching Jeremy Swayman this year?
I like him in keepers more than probably single season. I think, I know some owners are targeting him, and which I think he's probably a good goalie to draft in a lot of leagues, especially to start, right, where I think he could potentially push Allmark for starts. He looked great at the end of last season. Having said that, you know, being a young goalie, he could easily, he could easily struggle, and, you know, then they're finding a way to get back to the minors to get his groove back, his game. I'm a little bit, you know, I know Boston is, you know, Tuukka Rask has said, I only want to sign in Boston, and they're saying all the right things. Like, I want to have him back. So,
right.
I don't know how Tuukka Rask fits in this. If Swayman's, you know, if Swayman's the real deal and Linus Ullmark is signed for 4 years, then how do you get Tuukka Rask back in there? If he says he only wants to play for Boston, unless you want to do what Carolina did and go 3 goalies,
right?
You know, maybe one of them is injured.
Yeah.
You know, Rask is injured, but maybe by that time, one of the other 2 goalies is, and then, you know, it makes it easy to sign Rask. And then you're, you know, making sure that you're insured at the goalie position if Boston is going to make another serious Stanley Cup run.
Right.
So I don't know. That's an interesting one with, you know, with Rask. I wouldn't draft, I, It's not that I don't like Swayman. I think he showed a lot of ability last year. It's just I'm a bit unsettled on him based on just the, you know, waiting for what's the other shoe to fall with Tuukka Rask.
Yeah, I'm fading Swayman just based on that situation altogether. Ullmark is a guy I like, just given that, like you said, follow the money. He was given a 4-year contract, so chances are he's going to get some starts. Okay, good stuff there. Let's just jump into bounce back candidates. So again, one at forward, one at defense, and one at goal.
In terms of bounce backs, one that was at the top that you had, I'll name a couple here that you had. One was Tyler Seguin. And I remember Reedy pointing me out in the top 100 roto rankings. Like, why isn't Seguin there? And I kind of examined it on the good question because he could get the points. And he did look strong in the limited games that he got in last year. So I think there's real value. You have a list of his ADP is like 186. I don't know if he's getting draft. Well, Yahoo ADP is 79. He could provide, I think, really solid value there, especially if he bounces back. He's not a really strong roto multi-category threat. He's more of a pure scoring threat. Right. But I mean, if you're getting him around pick 80, that's not a terrible pick to make. And he could provide more. The other one I think is interesting here is Patrick Laine. Just because I identified him as a player that had gone too low. Another thing with reader feedback is it said to me, Patrick Laine needs to go from the top 100 roto rankings. And at the time, I didn't argue that much. But he's, you know, he's only like 23. Has his game fallen off that much? He burst onto the scene, scored 40 goals. You know, are we downgrading Line A now? You know, Columbus isn't the best scoring team out there, but they might be, you know, they might be a plucky team that kind of just sort of is sort of around the playoff bar. You know, maybe, you know, the Tortorella's gone. Maybe they open things up and that will help his production. I'm not saying draft him early, like maybe you would in the past, but you know, if you get him after pick 100, I think potentially there's some great value there. I don't think he bounces back to what his career highs would be, but he might not disappoint as much as you would think.
Yeah, a couple of points on Liney here. So his ADP, his 2021 ADP in Yahoo is 134.9. He's 100% drafted. Last year, his ADP was 33.5. So his value, his fantasy values dropped off tremendously. Mm. But one thing I did notice, and the Tortorella point is completely valid. I feel like it's almost like he gave up last year. His shots on goal per game is down to 1.8 last season, where, you know, the previous seasons before that were at 3.3, 2.9. So the shot metrics were just they and his shooting percentage was still kind of around his career average, but he just stopped shooting the puck, it looks like. So
yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that's a lot of his game is really predicated on getting shots. And yeah, I mean, playing in that Tortorella system, I mean, certain coaches, you know, basically most coaches really stress would rather their team not allow a goal than score a goal. And yeah, you know, in terms of coaches that are like that, John Tortorella is at the top of that list. So
totally.
You know, now that he's gone, I mean, I don't really know much about Brad Larsen and whether he just sort of is, you know, new boss, same as the old boss, or if he's actually going to kind of let them open things up a bit. I would think that he would probably try to. I mean, if you're going to make Columbus a half decent destination for a player like Laine, then in some ways you've got to let him be himself as opposed to sort of putting him into sort of this rigid defensive system.
Okay. And then defenseman.
Let's see. In terms of bounce back candidates, if you love risk, Tony DeAngelo, as long as you think this, you know, obviously he has to behave himself. If he stays with the team for the entire season, gets into every game, is not healthy scratched, then I think he could be in for a really big year. He could be a 50-point defenseman. But again, it depends on what your risk tolerance is. If you get him after pick 100, then maybe, you know, maybe you take a chance here. But there might be some other half-decent defensemen that are still on the board there. I think that's the one that kind of, I think, sticks out to me. I'll mention Ekman Larson again, just because I think he could. I don't know if he bounces back as much as he's just sort of consistent
right.
In there. Somebody like Yandle, I think he's going to get his first unit power play minutes, and he's going to, you know, he's going to score, and, you know, as long as he's chasing that game's play streak, that he's not going to be a healthy scratch. Certain types of defensemen that are kind of defensively deficient, like D'Angelo or Yandle or Shane Gostisbehere is another one. Right. Those guys are, you know, you're kind of always worried that because of that, they get into the coach's doghouse, and then the coach says, oh, okay, well, you're going to sit and watch for a game or two. I know that Florida tried to do that with Yandle last year, and it didn't quite work. So, no. In terms of bounce back candidates, I think all of those have the potential to.
Okay, just back to Yandle for a second. How do you see that power play situation shaking out? Like they brought in Ellis. They've got Ristolainen in there now. Yandle, who is, like you said, a power play specialist traditionally. Who gets first power play unit time there, do you think?
I think it's still Yandle. Just because I think that's what his specialty is. His even strength minutes are low. His even strength, they're going to use him as a third pair defenseman, most likely. But I think he's going to be out there on the first unit power play, which is unfortunate because I'm an Ellis owner in a keeper league. So, you know, I was hoping when Ellis got traded that would help his value. But then on the first day of free agency, they went and picked up Yandle. So, you know, that's, you know, I'm kind of hoping it's Ellis. Provorov could obviously have a say in it, but he might be more of a good sort of, he might be sort of being groomed more to be a good all-around defenseman as opposed to sort of a PP1 guy. Ristolainen, I think, I don't think he's going to get it in Philly. He's second power play at best, and there's a chance that he might not get anything. I like his multi-category production. I've been a Ristolainen fan just for things like, you know, hits, shots, just by the volume he gets from the ice time. But we might start to see a reduction of that now that he's out of Buffalo and not being leaned on so heavily, and the fact that the Flyers have added so many defensemen this offseason.
Okay, good stuff. And then goaltenders.
For goaltenders, question. I think Jari is one that I like. Frederik Andersen, I have invested in another year in my keeper, so I think Andersen would be a good bounce back candidate. Is a little curious as to why Carolina decided to go the way they did in net, but regardless, I think this is a great spot for Andersen. I was kind of worried that he would go to a team like Buffalo or Detroit this offseason, and really, you know, that obviously would have plummeted his value. So I think there's a really good opportunity for him, especially, and this is considering the kind of season he had in Toronto last year, where it just, obviously there was the really rough play and then there was the injury. Carter Hart, I think, is somebody that you probably shouldn't sleep on either. I think he's, considering where he was drafted last year and where he's going this year, I think he's worth a roll of the dice after pick 100, if you need a goalie, maybe as a second or third goalie for your team. Obviously, as a Canucks fan, I can't say, you know, Markstrom, I think, is, I think could provide high volume of starts and could be a bounce back candidate. But again, that might depend on what you think of Calgary.
Okay. Yeah, I think, well, Calgary is going to be a little more defensively minded this year with Sutter there. They should be. I would say they're going to be a little better than people would expect them to. Like, I don't think expectations are high for Calgary this year. John, Bruce, any thoughts on Calgary? Not really.
No, not at all. No.
If you got nothing good to say, say nothing at all. Okay.
That's right.
Pretty much.
Okay. Calder candidates. I mean, we talked about that. Cole Caulfield is your guy there, I guess, for the Calder. Are there any other names there that jump out to you that maybe some of our listeners should be keeping an eye on for next season? Could be fantasy relevant.
I think the one I like there is Trevor Zegras, just based on what we saw from him in the World Juniors, and I guess also from his limited time with the Ducks. The Ducks just simply aren't going to be a high scoring team this year, which I think might limit his value. That's why I think I like Coffey a little bit better because of the team he's on. But he could surprise. Maybe he's the, you know, maybe he invigorates that team the way that somebody like Kaprizov did for the Wild last year. But I think that might be another player to keep your eye on. In terms of the other ones, I mean, it's hard to say. It could be better than what you might think. I mean, Marco Rossi looked like a great pick last year for the Wild, and then he got COVID, and, you know, now he, you know, it, you know, looked like he got really sick from it. So is he going to be the same player? Is he going to, you know, how much is that going to affect him? It'll certainly will be an interesting one to watch.
Okay. And I think that's kind of all we had. Question wise, we've got some other targets we can go through a little later in the show here, guys. But Ian, I think that's, you know, from our perspective, you've been very generous with your time. We really appreciate it. We're an hour and 15 here, so we won't keep you any longer. But yeah, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on, getting to know you a little bit, and talking fantasy hockey.
Thanks for having me. It's been a slice.
Yeah, for sure. Guys, any other questions or comments here for Ian before we let him sign off?
I don't have any questions. I just want to say thanks. Really trying to take in what you all had to say there. And it was just fun having you on.
Good. Yeah, definitely. Thank you very much for your time.
And John will be a dedicated user of Frozen Tools moving forward.
Yes, I will be. Sure. I'm excited.
Yeah, just shoot me a message if you ever want any tips or if there are any questions about it.
When do I start?
For sure. and we'll make sure to put all your social links and stuff in the show notes here as well to let people know where they can get. And I guess if you want to just let people know, where can they find you on Twitter?
Ian_Gooding. That's IAN_GOODING. So that's pretty much where you find me on Twitter. I don't have as much going on Instagram, but usually anything that's fantasy hockey related is I'll get on Twitter. Just usually links to my articles and a few other general observations on fantasy hockey. And you always hit me up for a question or two. Always try to get back to you as soon as I can.
Okay. Excellent. Well, thank you again very much. And I'm sure we'll keep in touch throughout the season.
Sounds good. Thanks again for having me on.
All right. Take care.
Okay.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Okay. Well, that was awesome. A lot to digest, obviously, an hour and 15 minutes of content. So, That was great. Ian, thank you again. We really do appreciate that. That was way more time than I thought we'd get with him. Lots of insight. I'm really glad to hear he's on the OEL train more than you two are.
oh, come on.
Okay. Well, I guess we kind of went through a lot of our breakout and bounce back picks. Maybe we'll just kind of go through a few more here if you guys want. Is there anybody else you want to talk? Like, let's start at the top here. So breakout candidates, any forwards you guys really want to mention? I guess one I like for next year is Kirby Dach. 2021 ADP right now is 174.5. He's only 7% drafted. So people are largely sleeping on Kirby Dach, it appears, and he's probably going to play with Patrick Kane and Alex DeBrincat next year. So even if he's not on power play one, I like him for next year. What do you guys think?
Yeah, he's gonna get lots of.
There's that dead space again. Damn it. Sorry, guys. Okay, sorry, Bruce. What do you think?
Yeah, he's gonna get the opportunity, right? So, excuse me. He's gonna get lots of opportunity to show, whether it be power play or even strength. He'll get the opportunity. He'll most likely get. Guessing winger will be Kane. Kane or DeBrincat, right? One or the other, or both, possibly. So he'll have lots of opportunity to put up points. So he'll be a good late round pick for somebody.
Yeah, and I've got points predictions here, 15 goals, 55 points. So just so you guys know, in the show notes, if you want to go check us out after on our website, fantasyhockeyhacks.com, all of our bounce back and breakout candidates, Calder candidates, we've included some points predictions here for all of them, along with their 2021 ADPs and their ADP from last year. So you can kind of see how they've either gone up or down in value based on recent changes. So just keep that in mind. John, any other thoughts on Doc, or who else should we cover here? Do you want to talk about?
Well, with Doc, I just wanted to say that it's another year. He's a young guy, and he's still a big body. He's probably filled it out a little bit more this offseason, and it'll be exciting to see what he can do on the ice, just with taking advantage of his size too. Definitely brings more edge to that line.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
For other breakout forwards, I'd say, of course, I'm excited for Nolan Patrick. That's obvious. I've talked about that many times. What I'm really interested in is Lafreniere. All the hype around him. I know his first season there was a little disappointing to some, to most, I guess. And I'm really excited to see him showcase his talents. So that's one I want to see.
Okay. Bruce, who do you like from that list? There's some guys you want to talk about there in particular.
My favorite out of the pick is actually, now that he's with Detroit, he's not, he's going to get all the opportunity. He's going to play on possibly on the top line with Larkin. He's going to get first power play time. He's going to get tons of opportunity to show in Detroit what he was basically buried behind all the talent in Washington that he couldn't do. So with your prediction there, 29 goals and 62 points, I think he'll hit that because he's going to get all the opportunity to showcase what he can do.
Yeah. Do you like the over or the under there on that 29 goals and 62 points?
I'm going to say over.
Yeah. John's saying over too. Yeah. I think he could. Over. Yeah, I if Dylan Larkin has a good season, there's no reason they couldn't, right?
Yeah. No, definitely.
I like Oliver Wahlstrom. He's a guy I've got here. He right now, it kind of looks like he's going undrafted in Yahoo mock drafts early. I'm sure that'll change. He was undrafted last year, obviously being a rookie. I've got him pegged for 22 goals and 52 points, I think, with Jordan Eberle being taken by Seattle. He's going to get an opportunity, or should get an opportunity anyway, to play with Barzal on that first line and possibly the first power play unit. The only wrinkle there being they signed Kyle Palmieri as well. So we'll have to see how things shake out there. But, you know, Palmieri was largely a third line winger last season. So I guess we'll see what happens there. Do you guys like Wahlstrom for next year, or what are your thoughts?
I think he's going to be playing in Trott's system. So that's kind of. He's probably going to start the season on the third line. Palmieri will probably end up on first or second, I'm guessing, is where he'll start off. But
okay.
I think he's going to get the opportunity to play, right? So he's going to. One thing with Trotz is the lines never seem to always stay the same. So it's all everything's always seems to be fluid in motion. So if he doesn't get into Trotz's doghouse, he'll have opportunity definitely to do that. Could it be possible? Strength hill. Like you said, someone's got to score points in Eberle's absence. So,
yeah, obviously reliability could be an issue there, but I think given that he's going late, the value could be there if you can get him, you know, in the 15th or 16th round.
He was doing well in the regular season. I don't think he played in the playoffs at all, but in the regular season, he was off to a good start, and that was with Eberle in the lineup. So,
yeah. And our buddy Nate over at Apples and Geno's, I think, mentioned that in terms of individual scoring chances for per 60, he was, I mentioned in our last episode, I think, but he's right up there with some other notable rookies in the past 3 or 4 years. So some of them being Svechnikov and some other heavy hitters. So keep an eye out for him next season. Let's move on to defenseman really quick. I don't know if there's anyone else that we need to cover really. I do like Heiskanen for next season. I think the only thing stopping him from being a real star defenseman is John Klingberg, right? If he can get the power play time, we've talked about this before. If he can get power play one time consistently, there's nothing stopping him, in my opinion, from being a 12 goal, 50 point defenseman. But John, what you're kind of nodding your head too. Like, do you like Heiskanen there for next year?
Yeah, I've liked Heiskanen for a few years. Obviously I jumped on the bandwagon during that playoff run. But yeah, no, I like what's to come for him. And like you say, Klingberg's the question mark for Heiskanen. And but no, I think he'll take more strides and he'll be a good solid defenseman.
Okay, and Bruce, I don't think we can go an episode without you talking about Jamie Drysdale.
How did you know? Like Ian said earlier, Anaheim's not going to score a ton of goals, but Drysdale can reinvigorate at least the Anaheim power play, right? So
yeah,
they'll have Zegras, Kontos, probably Raquel, yep. Getzlaff maybe involved in there too. Hopefully he can reinvigorate something there into that power play, which has been pretty much non-existent now for a couple of 3 years for sure. So
yeah.
He's definitely my pick.
Okay. And just as like a real deep sleeper, I do like Evan Bouchard for next year. He's one Tyson Barrie injury away from being a breakout defenseman next year. So I as an Oilers fan, I hope to God that doesn't happen, but he could be a very valuable D-man given the right circumstances next year.
Definitely.
And I think he's just a guy you'll pluck off the wire, right? He's not going to get drafted, or if he does, it'll be drafted really late. So
yeah, no, it'll be very late.
Goaltenders, any breakout goaltenders you guys want to talk about? Obviously we covered pretty much this list here. We've got Spencer Knight, Ullmark, Pedersen, and Thatcher Demko. So any other guys you want to mention or you have thoughts on? Not really. Okay.
No, I got nothing.
Okay, cool. Let's move into bounce back candidates for next year. So starting with forwards, I do like Tyler Seguin, as we mentioned. He is going in kind of that 80 to 90 range that I've seen in early mock drafts. I think that's good value given the production. Like, he's a 70 plus point guy that I think that can return good value on that pick. I do like Victor Arvidsson for next year. I think he's going to do better in LA, just a change of scenery playing with Kopitar, hopefully on that top line. I think he can get closer to his 30 goal production. I've got 29 goals and 59 points for next year. He's going at an average of 176. So he's going really late. The value on Arvidsson is great. He just needs to get back to his old shot volume. I think he was down last year. So with some positive regression, I think he could have a really good season. Bruce, who else do you like there for forwards?
Seguin obviously was one, right? Because he's coming off his injury. A couple of obvious ones here that are going to do really well just now that they're playing full seasons. One, Taylor Hall, obviously he's got not playing better, but he got a talent upgrade around him by changing teams to Boston.
Yeah.
He's going to have a really good season. Same with Teravainen. That injury, right, kept him out for most of the season. So don't know if you call, they're going to both come back and have good bounce back seasons. I think anyway.
Yeah. Like Taylor Hall, my prediction here, our prediction, I guess, is 22 goals, 67 points. Do you guys like the over under there?
I think it'll be over. I think he'll be I think he'll be close to point per game.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. You heard it here first from Bruce Gunther. and then Teravainen, I've got 25 goals, 66 points. You guys like the over under there?
I'm going to go over there too.
Yeah, I like Teravainen, especially where he's being drafted. John, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to agree on that one. I'm taking the over on there.
Okay. And John, any specific players in that list? I feel like I know who you're going to pick, but you let me know. Who do you think out of that list?
Well, you think I'm going to say RNH right now, but
I was sure you're going to say RNH.
Well, I hope so. I really do. I've been a huge fan of him since before he was in the league back in junior. And I'm hoping for that breakout season. Is it going to happen? Honestly, I don't think so. But he gets put with the right set of guys, and yeah, definitely he can stand in front of the net and someone could shoot it off him if he wanted to, but y'all know who I'm talking about, so
yeah.
But I'm excited for him this year. I'm hoping he has a really good year, and he's certainly one of those guys. He doesn't just bring offense to the table. He's got great defensive qualities to him as well. He's a fantastic two-way player, I think. And that's got me excited for the year.
The biggest thing for Nuge is going to be consistency. If he can consistently play one position, they're not moving him back between center and wing all the time. If he's consistently at wing, he'll hit that 65 points that we've.
Yeah.
But if they're bouncing him back and forth between wing and second or third line center, his point total is going to be inconsistent again.
I think he might get bounced around, right? That's part of the reason they like him is he's a bit of a utility player. And
yeah,
I think, you know, like I've said before on the podcast, I think having Zach Hyman there and allowing Draisaitl to move up to play with McDavid is going to kind of force Nuge to play center, or, you know, like they're going to move him around a little bit. I think I just kind of have to expect that to some degree. But I just think he had a bad year last year. He's going to bounce back. 27 goals, 65 points. I think he can do it all day long. He just got to stay healthy and in that Pacific Division too. I'll take the over all day. Defenseman, anybody? Again, this was a bit of a shorter list, so I don't know if there's anyone here we really need to go over again. But you know, between this list or any other defenseman you guys want to mention as bounce back candidates?
Well, I think Ian hit the nail on the head. If you like the risk play, D'Angelo, like you can keep his head screwed on straight, and
yes.
He can replace Dougie Hamilton there in Carolina. He can have a whopper of a season because we've seen him do it in New York, right? So
yep.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say again, he's going late in draft. So 143.7 on average in Yahoo, 96% drafted, which isn't that far removed from his 2020 ADP of 127. So his value hasn't dropped off that much. A lot of that is just circumstantial being in Carolina. He's going to get Dougie Hamilton's gone, right? So he's going to get PP one time.
Oh, and it's going to be a late round pick for D'Angelo. No one's going to reach early for him. He's going to be available in the late rounds. It's just who wants to take the risk on him, right?
Yeah.
And in the later rounds, if he doesn't do well, drop him. Probably in a lot of drafts, Drysdale is going to be there. And
yep.
So it's risk pick it when you're getting that late into the draft. So
yeah, agrees. Okay, goaltenders again. I think we kind of beat a dead horse with this one. Am I missing anything there, guys? Anything I want to touch on from that list of goaltenders? Again, listeners, the notes are on the website for the show notes, so you can view the list in its entirety. But I think for the sake of time, we'll just kind of move along there, hey guys.
Yeah, okay. The only one out of the list that really see bounce back. We'll really see a good bounce back. I think it'll be Carter Hart.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And good value pick again. He's going later in drafts.
Keep an eye on him. Worked on his first pass out of the zone. He'll have that fixed for next season. Won't see that again. So he'll all be good.
I'm beating the Jari drum all day long, right till draft day. And you guys are going to hate me for it, but.
It's all right. Flurry's mine.
That's okay. One of us will reach for him just so that you can't get him.
I'm sure you will.
Just throw a curveball in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Calder candidates. Yeah. Cole Caulfield, whatever you can call him. He's my pick for next year. Any difference of opinion there, guys?
Unless we see some miracle play by Zegras or Rossi, I think it's Caulfield's. It's his to lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. John?
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. Zegras has some pretty slick hands, but yeah, Caulfield's been really showing it lately that he has the tools, the ability to take that trophy there. So yeah.
Oh, and he's got more talent around him too. Montreal's got a lot more offensive talent than Anaheim does right now. So
yeah,
if Zegras does do it, he's doing it on his own, basically.
Exactly.
Sure. All right. moving on here, we'll go to players that we're targeting for next season. So the first one I've got here is Kirill Kaprizov. I think you guys, we all like Kaprizov for next year.
If he signs.
If he signs, assuming he's back. So keep an eye on that during preseason and training camp. Sam Reinhart, Sam Bennett, Zach Hyman, Sean Couturier, Jack Hughes, Victor Arvidsson, and like we said, Kirby Dach. So anything else you guys want to say there? Nope. Okay, again, that'll be included in the show notes, guys, with some points predictions and the ADP information. Defenseman, Charlie McAvoy, we talked about him. Seth Jones, Miro Heiskanen, Aaron Ekblad. Not like, I mean, these are kind of obvious picks, right? But these are guys that I think could have really good seasons. I think we all believe we'll have good seasons next year. But if I'm picking one out of the list, for me, it might be Seth Jones. I mean, and he might just be the sexy pick because of the players on that power play in Chicago, but I really like Seth Jones for next season. John, you're nodding your head. What do you think?
I was going to agree with you 100%. Yep. Out of that list, I'm going Seth Jones.
And his ADP right now is... Okay. Glad we all agree. His ADP is 74.9, 100% drafted, which is actually, like, last year he was going at 65.3, so he's going a bit later than he was last year. Which is surprising. This is early, right? Take all this a grain of salt because this is early Yahoo mock drafts. Our prediction is 10 goals, 50 points. I'd even probably take the over on that one. What do you guys think?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, okay. I'm taking the over.
Goalies, again, we talked about this earlier with Ian, but Darcy Kemper, Spencer Knight, Tristan Jarry, obviously, because we keep yakking about him, Carter Hart, Calvin Peterson. And then let's move on here, guys, to players we're fading. So for me, I've got a few here. You guys can let me know. I've got Zibanejad just purely based on his ADP. He's not a guy I'd reach for typically early in drafts, especially after how last year went. His ADP was inflated based on the one season, I think, where he was almost on pace for 100 points, right? So again, too rich for my blood. Andre Palat is another guy, and I'm just going to pull up his information here because he's currently going at 76.1. Last year his ADP was 185.2. So based on the fact that Kucherov wasn't there this year, he got time on the top power play and the top line, and obviously that inflated his numbers, but he was on a 69 point pace last year in 2020-2021. The only other season in his entire career where he put up 69 points was in 2014-2015. His previous three seasons, 49 points in 69 games, 44 in 64, and 51 in 56. So take that for what it's worth. He's not a big volume shooter. And his power play time in 2019-2020 was 1:20. 1:20 on the power play. Last year, he spent 3:13 on the power play, so 63% power play share. He's just not a guy I'm reaching for based on his ADP. And the third one I'll mention, well, you guys, John, who else on that list do you not like? You tell me.
It really pains me to say this, but I'm going to have to say Gino. Only because of his injury history. I love the guy to death, but yeah. I think every chance I get every year I take him. As soon as I can, but the guy just can't seem to play more than a handful of games a year, it seems. So unfortunately, that's why I got a fade on him.
Yeah, last year he only played 33 games, and his points per game, 0.85. That is the lowest since, it's actually the lowest of his career and the lowest since 2010-2011 when he put up 0.86 points per game. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know if this is the beginning of the end for Malkin or what's happening. He was on a 70-point pace. His shots on goal per game fell off a cliff. It was 3.1 shots on goal per game in 2019-2020. It was 2.2 last year. His power play time went down. He was over 70% power play share in the previous three seasons, previous four seasons, actually, before he went down to 66.6 last year. So, total ice time's down as well. He just looked disinterested at times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, that's a little worrisome for me. Also, I wanted to say, Yeah. If he's there later on, yeah, maybe I'll take him, but we'll see. I also just wanted to touch on players fading with Evander Kane, just mainly because he seems like a terrible human being.
You'll get no argument from anyone in this podcast about that.
Don't get me wrong, he's great for category coverage, but yeah, he's no good for a locker room, no good for my team.
Well, and I don't know where, like, is he going to play this year? Because nobody on that team wants him to play in San Jose, so who knows? Bruce, I want your input on Jack Eichel. I'm fading Jack Eichel. I'm not touching him in drafts this year. What are your thoughts?
I'm the same thing. Until we can figure out what's happening with his neck, I'm not touching him. Like, if he's going in the, well, if you look at a 10-team 81, that's too early for me to take him. It would be, I'm looking like super late rounds before I would touch him if he's still there, but I would never take him at, even in the eighth round, I wouldn't touch him.
That's not actually, sorry, Bruce, that's in a 12-team Yahoo draft. He's going, like, Yahoo's ADP stats I'm pulling, so that's 12-team standard drafts.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely not touching him there. That's way too early.
Yeah.
Not until we can figure out what's going on with his neck, because if he has surgery now, he's going to miss three quarters of the season.
Yeah.
Like, if he has it now, and if they haven't sorted it out yet, if they don't sort it out for another 2 months, he may not be back until playoff time. And if he's still with Buffalo, they're not making the playoffs. So his season's pretty much written off, and you've wasted a high pick on a player who may not play for you this year.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are hoping he'll be ready for the Olympics. And that's kind of what, I'm sure that's what he has in his mind, is that, you know, come hell or high water, he's playing for the U.S. at the Olympics. But if you're a fantasy owner, you're not going to get him until February or March, right? Like, it's kind of... Yeah, so I'm fading him. No, thank you. Yeah,
me too.
Okay, defenseman. John, what do you think? Anyone in that list that you're kind of particularly offended by?
No. Okay. No, I don't know. It's hard to say. I've never been a big Keith Yandel guy, but... The Ristolainen, the Rasmus Dahlin. Dahlin, young guy, such high potential for him, I think, and I'd almost put him in one of my breakout.
Yeah, he's going late. Like, he's going 151 on average, 90% drafted still. People are reaching for him. But last year, he's going on average 74.4.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I took him.
That's where a lot of people took him, right? And now those angry people are taking him at 150. So I think the value's there if you can get him late enough, but
if you can get him at 151, I think you're doing good, because they've got a new coach there. The team, Buffalo, played a lot better after the trade deadline and after the coaching change.
Yeah.
So okay. I think if you can get him at 151, I think he'll be a good value.
Okay. Goaltenders that we're fading, Bobrovsky, I think, is one. Obviously, that we don't like. John Gibson. I shouldn't say that. Like, Bobrovsky in a tandem with Knight, I think, will still return some value. He'll get some wins, right? But his peripherals could be terrible. John Gibson is a guy I'm fading. Bruce, I think you've talked about him lots, where he'll play well till about Christmas time, right? And then...
Oh, yeah. He's going to come into the season, he's going to play really well, but the team in front of him is going to struggle. And pretty much here, it's... How long do you go before the Levy breaks, right? So how much of a pounding can he actually take? So yeah, he'd be good for the first part of the season, but for the second half of the season, it tends to fall off, unless all of a sudden Anaheim becomes a incredibly better defensive team here in the offseason. But they haven't made any changes, so I can't see anything changing there.
Unlikely. Just quick note, John Gibson is actually going higher than Cal Peterson in drafts currently, which is a shame. Don't do that. Don't take John Gibson over Cal Peterson. You'll regret
it. Not surprising, though. Gibson's had better pedigree, right? He's had better teams in front of him, and that's why he's going.
He's got going name earlier. Value, right? Yeah. So, but I'm just saying, take a risk, take Peterson, and you'll probably be better for it next year. And if I'm wrong, I'll eat some crow. Okay, quick guys, because we're coming up on an hour 45 here, so I just want to go through some really quick early mock draft observations. And then, you know, I had done a bit of an exercise with some past drafts results, just and kind of summarized what some championship teams, what some of the trends were that they utilized in some of the picks. So I'm going to leave that information in the show notes, but I think we'll maybe jump over it for now, just in the sake of time or interest of time here. But what we're seeing here in early mock drafts, Sean Couturier is a massive value pick based on his Yahoo ADP of 147.6. I expect that's going to change, right, guys? Like, there's no way he's going to continue to go at 150, but he's been close to a point per game player over the past three seasons. So keep an eye on him, especially if you can get him, you know, past 130 or past 140.
What's his category coverage like?
I think he's good on faceoffs. Pull him up. Obviously, in points, he's a producer. Let's pull up his numbers here.
Because when he was drafted, and he was primarily used as a defensive center, was he not?
Yeah, well, he's won the Selke, right? So, but yeah. His shot volume is good. 2.7, 2.7, 2.8, 2.7, like clockwork. The last 4 years, he's been close to three shots a game. Hits are limited. Power play points are a little bit limited. He blocks a bit. His faceoffs are great. He was almost at 60% in 2019, 2020. He is getting between 50 and 60% on the power play. And he's pacing between 70 and 78 points over the past four seasons.
That's great value at 147.
Yeah. So he's a guy that in early mock drafts I've been looking at. You know, especially that late in the draft. So definitely keep an eye out for him. Yanni Gourde, average ADP 157.3. So he's going in the 13th round. He's available at a significant discount due to offseason surgery. Not all that surprising, but he is a player that's put up 60 points that 1 year, 60 some points in Tampa. And I think mostly playing in a third line role. So again, good value. Keep an eye out for him. Jack Hughes, who we talked about earlier with Ian, is being criminally undervalued. In standard Yahoo drafts, he's being drafted at an average of 148.2. So in the 13th round. We've talked about him at length. So great value. So keep an eye on Jack Hughes. I've actually done some mock drafts where I didn't draft him and he was just left on the wire. So again, take this all with a big grain of salt, because I think in most actual drafts, you're going to see Jack Hughes going earlier than that, or at least being selected. Tyler Seguin, so at an average ADP of 89.3, Anze Kopitar at 97, and Blake Wheeler at 99.5, all provide 70 plus point potential in the 8th round or later. So those are three good centers that they're going to put up some points for you. And
Kopitar is going to be the one to watch out of those three.
Yeah.
Now they've got to know to take the defensive zone faceoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kopitar is the one to watch there.
I really like Kopitar for next year, so keep an eye on him. I think, again, it's good value, just under the top 100. Patrick Laine's value has taken a massive hit, which you've talked about. I do think he will have a bit of a bounce back next year. I'm still fading him personally. I think he'll be under 30 goals next year, but a new coach is going to help him, and I think he'll be, if he can get his shot rate back up, shot volume, I think he'll be in better shape.
I think now that Tortorella is gone, you're gonna see a big improvement in his play.
Yeah,
if he's there in the late rounds, I'll grab him.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, I think John. If you can get him late enough, I mean, why not?
There's gonna be some. If you've got a big fan of Lyon, they'll reach for him earlier. But if he's there in the later rounds, because really, you look at he's gonna probably play with Voracek, right? So. Get a bit of a talent upgrade there from what he's played with before, because Voracek was almost a point per game player last year. So,
yeah, he'll have a good solid playmaker, right?
He'll have lots of opportunity, right? They're going to have Werenski on the point on the power. So, they got a couple of guys that can pass up the puck, and we know Lion A can hammer the puck. He showed it in Winnipeg, right? So,
yeah,
you give him a couple of guys that can feed it to him in the right spot, and it won't take him long to get back to or close to where he was with Winnipeg.
Yeah, it's not like you're taking him in the fifth round anymore, right?
No, exactly. In the later rounds, that's fine.
Is Tyler a fan of him?
Yes.
Tyler does. I was gonna say
I'm just gauging like if they even bother trying because.
Yeah, okay, Tyler, if you're listening,
good to know.
Yeah.
No, he did. Actually, Tyler was texting me. He was quite upset when the Pierre-Luc Dubois Patrick Laine trade occurred. He was like beside himself. He's like, "What are they doing?"
Yeah, both players.
So I know, but it was just one of those things. Like, how can they trade Laine for Dubois? It just didn't make any sense in his mind. And you know, based on the way Dubois played last season, he was probably partially right anyway.
No, neither of them played that well after the trade. So
no. Okay, let's move on to defensemen here. So one observation, 4 elite defensemen are going to be gone by round 3. So Cale Makar at an average ADP of 13.7. He's consistently been taken in the second round of most standard Yahoo drafts, followed by John Carlson, ADP of 25.8, Adam Fox with an ADP of 25.8, and Victor Hedman with an ADP of 30.2. So those are your first 4 defensemen taken off the board. But after Hedman, it's a bit of a guessing game and preference, and it's kind of gone a few different ways. So if you want an elite defenseman, if your name is Bruce, you're going to take Cale Makar in the second round and not probably think twice about it.
Did last year, and it worked out quite well.
It was just fine, yeah.
Third round last year, actually.
Third round, you said?
Third round, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, well, there you go. Mackenzie Weegar's ADP, in my opinion, is inflated. He's being drafted in Yahoo on average at 111.6, so it's in the 10th round. It's not terrible, but he's being drafted higher than established defensemen like Zach Werenski, Ryan Ellis, Thomas Chabot, Brent Burns, who I know his value, you know, it's not great right now. Even Tony DeAngelo. So he's being drafted well ahead of all these guys. I know he's playing on an elite team like the Panthers, but with Aaron Ekblad back, he's not going to get power play time. He's going to be relying on 5-on-5 production. A little rich for me, but I think he's still did you guys like the over or under on 8 goals and 45 points for Mackenzie Weegar?
I'm going to go under.
Okay. Under for Bruce.
Yeah, under.
Okay. Make that 3 times. Moving on. Brent Burns.
No.
I know you're saying no, but he may be a worthwhile gamble at his current ADP of 128. So he's going in the 11th round.
Well, you still know I can't draft him, though.
Is it because of the beard or the hair?
Well, both.
Okay. I will say his shots on goal at 2.5 per game, that's the lowest they've been since 2011-12. Same with his points per game at 0.52, and his power play percentage is the lowest it's been since 2013-2014. So definitely some red flags. I guess my argument would be that to draft him as a 4th or 5th defenseman, 130 or later, there's potential that he has a bounce back year because it couldn't have gotten much worse for him in San Jose last year. Are you guys buying or selling on that?
I'll pick up John, sorry.
Bruce, you take him.
Yeah. I take him in the late rounds for sure.
And John, we just know your answer is no. So
Yeah, I'd be selling on him anyways, because he's not getting any younger. So,
and no Pavelski there either to tip in those point shots.
Oh, I don't care about Pavelski anyways.
I just mean like that's definitely hurt Burns' value. I don't know how you can't like Pavelski.
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
It's like my whole Getzlaff thing. I can't really give you a good answer. I just don't.
We could have an entire podcast just on the inner workings of John's mind when it comes to player selection. But we won't go there. That'd
be interesting.
Okay, goaltenders. Some quick observations. We've kind of talked about this at length, but there will be quality goaltenders available in the later rounds of your fantasy hockey drafts. Don't be afraid to fade goalies. You don't have to follow the 0G theory, but you know what? Tristan Jarry, Mike Smith, Alex Nedeljkovic, Carter Hart, Jeremy Swayman, Jacob Markstrom, and Cal Peterson are all going in the 10th round or later. Thatcher Demko, who I think we believe is going to have a decent season, he's just a touch earlier in the 9th round. Carter Hart's got an ADP of 137.5. Do you guys like 30 wins and 3 shutouts for him? Over, under?
Yes.
Okay.
Over. Over.
Cal Peterson, over-under is 23 wins, 2 shutouts. I'm taking the over.
That's over.
So there's some more information on there for those guys if you just want to hear or see some of their stats. And that does it for us, guys. So just under 2 hours here. That was a ton of content. Is there anything else you guys want to mention for our 2021 Fantasy Hockey Guide episode?
Nothing.
Nothing. Crickets. I'm actually going to find crickets. A cricket sound and just like insert it there. Okay.
Yeah.
No, there's a ton of content here. You know, another good show tonight, guys. Hopefully the listeners enjoy it. Again, thank you to Ian for his time and all of his insights. I will, like I said, include some links to some of his content, his Twitter account, the Dauber Hockey links, and a link to the Fantasy Hockey Guide. So if you want to check out those things, definitely do. For us, if you need to get in touch with us for any reason, questions, comments, or otherwise, fantasyhockeyhacks@gmail.com. We welcome any feedback, as long as you're polite about it. And if you want to reach us on Instagram, Fantasy Hockey Hacks. If you want to reach us on Twitter, at FH Hacks. And please reach out to us. We love interacting with listeners and followers and all that kind of stuff and just talking hockey. So with that, we will sign off for another episode of the Fantasy Hockey Hacks. John, Bruce, thanks, guys.
Hey, good night, everybody.
Yes. Take care, everyone.
All right. Take care.